our Torah portion for this week. And we could spend and should spend the rest of our lives studying this portion. You know, Yahweh saved us to make covenant. And this is that portion in which He makes that covenant. In Hebrew, Vayishma, now right here, you guys should know that word. Shema, here. Yitro, Kohen, that's priest. Midian, Choten. And again, that would be, and hearing. Hearing what? What Yahweh did in Egypt. Jethro, the priest of Midian, came. That's important. While he's related, it's the hearing that causes him to come and investigate and find out that it really happened. Now, turn me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. What I want to do today is look at Matthew 22, where someone tries to challenge Yeshua. And then I want to take it to the commandments. And I really want to spend most of my time really examining the commandments. And I pray it's a different way than you've seen them. Because they're not just meant to be a set of rules. They're really not. They're a doorway to see who Yahweh is. It's a 22, starting with verse 34. And when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him to see, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Yeshua said to him, "You shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." I could even add, to on these two commandments hang your relationship with Yahweh and your eternal reality. And I can say that pretty surely because a rich young man comes up to Yeshua and says, "How shall I be saved?" And what does Yeshua say? He does not say, "Believe in me." Just follow the commandments. Follow the commandments. So, love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and strength. That's pretty much, last time I checked, everything of who you are. Right? To love Him completely, overwhelmingly so. To love your neighbor as yourself. And hopefully, I pray, you'll be able to see this a little bit differently today. We say this and we speak it quite often. But we don't always really understand what we're saying at its heart. So, I made this for us to look at. The first commandments are a focus in the idea of loving Yahweh and to learn love. See, the first commandment is really, you have to understand what is love. And we're going to get to it in a second, but Yahweh has to teach you what is love. Because here among humans, we know hate to great detail. We can define it, what it looks like. What does love look like? It's messed up all over the place. So Yahweh has to first show us what is love by loving us. Then you'll see that all the rest of the commandments are about loving your neighbor as yourself. So once you learn what this is from Him, then you're expressing that love, which you now know as you, to anyone that lives near you. Now, the reality of the Ten Commandments is also the idea of a wheel. And what I mean by that is, each one of the commandments, let's say we take the Sabbath commandment, you continue out into all the Torah in the reality of all of His high holy days attached to that one commandment. Right? If you take the commandment about killing, every commandment of how to relate to your brother in a community falls under that commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Every commandment about relations with your brother, sister, father, mother comes under that commandment. So it's a spinning wheel of the Torah coming back to these very two concepts, which it surrounds itself. Now, what does Messiah mean? Exodus 20, you can go there. I have it up here. It's just the commandments. Probably the most, at least at this point, one of the more important parts. This is one of the ones you want to memorize. Exodus 20 is one of the verses you want to memorize to be able to find. I am Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the house of bondage. This is the first commandment. You're like, it's a commandment. Yes, it is the first commandment. So why does Yahweh make that the first commandment? Well, it's very important because he wants you to know that he's introducing himself. All those things that happened, that was me. After the third plague, when you still had light, when the plagues didn't come on you, when you didn't die, that was me. And I want to make covenant with you. I want a special relationship where we're coming into a marriage. But in this relationship, there's going to have to be some type of covenant rules that we live by. He tells us that he is the lover of our soul. Like, what do you mean by that? He just said, I am the one who brought you out of the house of bondage. Why did he bring us out of the house of bondage? They didn't deserve to come out of Egypt. They were cursing Moses and Aaron, saying, you're making our life worse. Then they go out, oh, you should let us die in Egypt. You think they deserve to come out? No. So why did Yahweh do it? Because he loves them. I am the lover of your soul. Even when you strike against me, I'm still the lover of your soul. He goes on further. He tells us that he is our only Savior. He didn't go and say Moses did it. I am the one who brought you out of bondage. And I brought you out of bondage to bring you here, that you be my precious possession, my most prized possession, my bride. He goes on to tell us that he is eternally faithful. Whatever he says he's going to do, no matter if it is the greatest army or nation at that time, he will do what he needs to do, destroy them to accomplish his work. I am Yahweh who brought you out. You should have no other gods before me, nor make yourself carved image. Now notice that it's changed because the focus is on you. But what's interesting in this commandment is there's going to be a you and then there's going to be an Elohim part. So notice that. You should have no other gods before me, nor make yourself a carved image. You shall not serve them or bow down to them. For Yahweh, now this is his part, is a jealous Elohim, a God, punishing up to the fourth generation and showing a love to thousands of those who love me and what? Keep my commandments. Simple. Right? First part. Well, he expects you to love him and him only. Right? Serving him. Being faithful to him and him only. And this is an important one. A lot of times people go into marriages going, well, I'm going to change my wife or I'm going to change my husband to make them more of what I want them to be. But Yahweh is saying, not change him, but love him, Yahweh, for who he is. You're not Yahweh. He's not the clay. You're the clay. Yahweh is the one that's forming. Don't forget the role. You should not take the name of Yahweh in vain. Right? We sort of throw this around. Never take lightly. That's important there. Yahweh. If you at any point take it lightly that Yahweh is for you, your faith will fall apart. This is Yahweh. This is no idol or other god. This is the one who made the universe. Yet we struggle to believe that he can actually change a little problem of our budget or something. Right? We take lightly his covenant with him. And that could be simple as, you know what? I have covenant with him and he's always faithful to every one of the things. But you know what? I don't feel like obeying this one. I always find it intriguing. Wait a minute. If you start deciding what you're going to do on Shabbat, it's not Yahweh's Shabbat anymore. It's yours. That's how you form and shape him. I want it my way. I want it my way. The reality that we respect him and his name to the world around us, meaning if you go out and you start breaking the commandments and Yahweh's on a name, you're a representative. So now everybody thinks the way you live is what Yahweh's like. You're taking his name in vain because the world's going to see and go, well, that's what Yahweh's like. They're two-faced. Yahweh's two-faced. Just like that person I know. That's taking his name in vain. It's taking it lightly. Remember and keep the Shabbat holy. 6 days of work. The seventh day, the Shabbat to Yahweh. No one shall work, for Yahweh made the heavens and earth in 6 days and it rested on the seventh, thus blessing and making it holy. He made it holy. He made it. But what's important here is the Shabbat is an outward sign of the covenant. It is your wedding ring. See, this is where the commandments sort of change. This is one, the last two are not only with Yahweh, they're for the world. Remember, take his name in vain, that means the world sees you taking it in vain. The Shabbat, people go, well, why do you have to have today off? What's the big deal? Why do you have to go over there and spend the time at synagogue? It's your wedding ring that every week someone goes, oh, you have covenant with someone. Every single week, it's a reminder that you have covenant with the one who made the universe. He defines three groups in this command. Yahweh, us, and those under our care. Our servants, our maidservants. I thought of the idea, and at least brought it up for you to consider, for people who go out on Shabbat to eat, you're going to pay a tip to that servant. Are they not serving you? Shabbat says you shall not have your maidservant or your servant work on Shabbat. Shall not. They're like your children. They're looking to you. The people that are around you that don't know. Defines roles and thus two kinds of work. This is most important. What he's saying is if you follow the commands, you're going to do the work of Yahweh. You know what that does? It frees up Yahweh to do your work. You mean my work? Yeah, to save your soul. To change you. You go out and represent me in the world and let me worry about salvation. Think about just a few weeks ago when we're coming out of the Red Sea. What does he say? Sit still. Be not afraid. And you'll see your salvation today. Why? Because that's Yahweh's work. That he is working in our lives. We have other work to work in other lives. Two kinds of work. Honor your father and mother. Honor means serve, protect, praise, encourage, take care of those who serve and love you. And it's more specific than just a father and mother. It's a father and mother role. Anyone in that role that you are looking to that is guiding you, teaching you, instructing you, serving you. In a perfect world, we're supposed to learn and follow after the things that are passed down by an actual literal father or mother. We don't live in a perfect world, and many of us did not have Torah passed down to us. But in a perfect world, that would be the case. And if we honor them, that means we're actually honoring God because they're giving us what? The commands of life. Right? In a perfect world, it's meant so we see, experience, and feel the love of Yahweh in a concrete way. Because Yahweh is neither man nor woman, so he's our father and our mother. He's both. And Yahweh wants you to know that love in a concrete way, which is why he gives parents. You shall not murder. Vengeance is mine, says Yahweh, it's not yours. When you come down to these commands, to be very honest, it has to do more with you thinking you're more important than someone else, that your life is somehow more important than someone else's. You can take theirs. We need to learn to use tools and weapons properly, especially the tongue. We kill more people with the tongue on a daily basis. I still do not understand, when people become close friends, why it is more the natural habit to cut each other down. But that means we're closer friends. I do not understand. I know many of you, I know me, will go home, will laugh and smile when it's said, and we'll go home, and there'll be nights where that pain will come back, and that scar does not heal. It's not on the outside. Yeshua brings us up in Matthew 5, saying, you call someone stupid, you have broken this command, because you have used a weapon against them to destroy them. Love and forgive debts as we experience His love and forgiveness. You have to understand, Yahweh has a right to take your life right now for what you've done to Him. But He's forgiven your debt. How are you treating others who hold debts, that you hold their debts? Shall not commit adultery. Covenants and relationships are sacred. They're supposed to grow stronger and sweeter over time. But it takes work, effort. Adultery is, again, in many of these, are animalistic. I have a need, a hunger, a want, I will take. It also makes you more important than anyone else. It also leads to a world of anarchy. Because if you have the right to kill someone, then someone has the right to kill you. This also deals with the idea of building relationships and not destroying them. Because this whole command is about healthy relationships have boundaries. And when you cross those boundaries, it's like dominoes. The entire relationship breaks. Trust is lost. Peace is lost. Joy is lost. And you don't just go back and it's just going to rebuild itself. You have to rebuild it brick by brick. You shall not steal. Yahweh is the giver of all good gifts. Should bring you to the question, why do you think what you need is more important than what He's already given you? Right? He's given you by Yeshua to say, if there's something you want, go ahead and ask, seek, and knock. See if Yahweh's going to give it. Don't go taking. Wait upon Yahweh and be satisfied with His will. That's probably the hardest part here. You ask most people who steal from their employer, why they steal. And they'll tell you that they feel underappreciated. Like someone owes them something they're not getting, and so they're going to take it. That's why many steal. We're not even talking about the civil thing, well, if you're starving, I don't think Yahweh's going to sit back and hold this against you. We're talking about just taking. When you really didn't need. You should not bear false witness. Reputations are based on words. They are built. In today's world, we don't talk about reputations. Your reputation as someone who is a trustworthy, honest person is based on the reality of being a true witness to whatever happens. Relationships or trust are based on those reputations. Truth is a rock. Lies are shifting sand. When you give people rocks that are commands in your reputation, they feel like they can trust you, those rocks, they don't crumble apart. They can stand upon the word you gave them going, you know what? I trust they're going to do it. Lies, just one lie is shifting sand, making you wonder if all those rocks are going to fall out from underneath you in your relationship. You shall not covet. Count your blessings. This goes back to the tree. They focused on the one tree they could not eat of, ignoring all the other trees Yahweh planted among them. Wanting, in this regard, always starts with us focusing on the one little thing we don't have right now. And ignoring all of the other things we have. Be satisfied knowing that Yahweh is given and will give you all you need. Be satisfied. Wanting is a physical hunger that will never be satisfied. Wanting leads to wanting. I can promise you. You'll want it, you'll get it. It'll be wonderful for a little bit, and then you'll want something else. And this could be any of the commands. Adultery, stealing, killing. None of them, if you go to do it, the one time is not going to satisfy you going, I've had enough. You will want more. Wanting is the first step to breaking all the commandments. Wanting in itself as a coveting. I don't mean like wanting to be closer with Yahweh. I'm not speaking of that. I mean the wanting the world is teaching. Wanting is sin. Because when Yahweh goes, I've given you all these gifts, and your first comment back is, oh, these are so good, but could you give me that? Feel how Yahweh can feel from that. Oh, so these aren't enough? I thought I gave you stuff. I want to focus 1 second on this command, love your neighbor as yourself. Once Yahweh shows you how much he loves you, why you were still his enemy, while you still hated him, he taught you love. Now what he wants you to do is when you see anyone else, instead of being the reality of who we are naturally, we always see people's flaws. We do not see naturally what they're good at. We see their flaws and we emphasize their flaws. To love your neighbor as yourself is to see in your neighbor you. And in you, Yahweh. And how would Yahweh act towards me? Thus I will act towards them. Love your neighbor as yourself, as Yahweh has taught you what is love. I just want you to listen. To close today. We know this. I just want you to hear it one more time. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith and I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Now, you could put in Yahweh's name for this. Yahweh suffers long. Yahweh is kind. Yahweh does not envy. Yahweh does not speak proud of itself. Pride in this regard is when you steal the limelight from someone else. And that's stealing too. Does not puff up. Does not behave rudely. And that's, of course, our tongue again. Does not speak, seek its own. Is not provoked to think, is not provoked, thinks, to evil. But not does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there is tongues, they will be ceased. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But we know in part, we prophesy as part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is part was done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. And I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I says known. And now abide 3 things, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of all of them is love. And the love that Yahweh has taught us. Baruch Hashem. Page 30.